You bring your phone everywhere. Work, school, the movies. Now you can bring it to an Xfinity store for an easy way to switch to Xfinity Mobile, a new kind of network designed to save you money. You can get up to 5 lines of talk and text included with Xfinity Internet at no extra cost, so all you pay for is data. It's never been easier to switch to Xfinity Mobile and keep the phone you love. Click here to see how. Sorry, I gotta take this. Restrictions apply. Limited to select mobile phones.
Good afternoon, Sunday Drive talkers. I am your host, Dr. William P. Butler, Sr., and I'm so glad for this rendition of the Sunday Drive Talk. On today, we're going to have a continuation of our part one series of how in the world do you forgive people and how in the world do we help the pain to stop. And I'm so glad that we are on today and have this opportunity to have some discussion, and I hope that you guys will be as vocal and involved as we have been in the weeks past and gone. Before we begin, I want to first give a thanks to all of our sponsors, the Twisted Sister, Jason Moore. I want to Salon Knoxville, Pastor Maples of the True Believers Church, Rock of Ages Baptist Church in Morristown, Tennessee. I want to thank God for our producer, Sister Janice Hudson, the Z, and I want to give a special appreciation to all of you Sunday Drive talkers. As we go forward, we find that that is a matter that everyone will run into, forgiveness. You've heard it once said, when you do wrong once, shame on you. When you do wrong twice, shame on me. That is an insinuation that when people make a mistake, it's their fault the first time. But if you keep letting them make the mistake, knowing that they have that habit, then it's your fault the second time. Well, the weird thing about the Bible is that it teaches us lots and lots and lots about forgiveness. It tells us how to be able to deal with the periods of forgiveness. We talked at length about this, and there were very, very many questions that came up. And for those who are listening on our Sunday Drive audience, we asked some questions about forgiveness. And even on the internet, we took a poll to see what people would have to say, whether or not they believed if men had issues with anger management, holding grudges and anger more than women. And it was amazing to see the results of that. We found that in our poll that most of the women said it was men, and most of the men said that it was women. You had a few women that said it was women. But for the most part, it was almost completely pointing in the other direction. That, my friends, will let us know that perhaps we may be a little bit off in our assessment of anger management, frustration, and what we think of the opposite gender. So when we're going through this today, make sure that you keep in mind, take your notes, and get yourself ready for what God had done in your life and what he wants you to do in the lives of others and your life yet to come. Last week, we talked about how if you want to be able to forgive people, you've got to relinquish your right to get even. From Romans 12 and 19, it tells us that we are not supposed to get even, but we're not supposed to take revenge because vengeance belongs to Christ himself. However, the Bible does say in Romans 12 and 21, don't do evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. This means whenever evil is performed to you, it is absolutely possible for you to overcome that particular evil by doing good. Now, when a person has been done wrong, the last thing they want to hear is, this is the right thing to do. This is the good thing to do. You need to do this. You need to do that. People aren't interested in that many times, but we should be. We got to relinquish our right to get even. And second, last week, we also talked about how we must respond to evil with good, according to Romans 12 and 21 is what I just said, but also in Luke chapter 6 and verse 27 and 28. The Bible teaches us that we are supposed to do good to those, even those who hate us and have issues with us and don't like us and give us a hard time, act crazy with us, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If a person does not have Christ ruling, reigning, and running their life, they're probably going to be just as messed up as the rest of us. And we need Jesus Christ. Lord knows we do. So on this show on today, we're going to deal with two other steps that will help you to embrace forgiveness. But before I do, I want to ask our studio audience, if I have anyone in the audience here today, can you please enlighten us, share with us, talk to us, and let us know, why in the world do we have these issues? Why in the world is it so hard to forgive someone? We know that Christ wants us to forgive. We know that forgiveness is really a good thing. We even know that we all need forgiveness. But why is it so difficult? Can I get any responses at this time? If you have any text messages, please make sure you shoot a text message to 865-306-6362. We'll give you a question on the air. Anyone? Thank you so much for the messages that are coming in. I'm hearing people saying that these messages, I mean, this forgiveness is very, very difficult because the person has ruined your trust. And when they ruin your trust, you don't want to forgive them because you feel like it's going to mean that what happened didn't mean anything. Like you're accepting it and allowing it to continue to happen because you forgave the person. But that is nothing farther from the truth. Jesus Christ forgives us for all of our sins, and when we come to him, he expects us to try to live for him, to try to live with him. And also, he expects us to not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage that we once were entangled in. He's not forgiving us so that we can sin. He forgave us so that we would have the power over sin and not be under the bondage of sin, so that we won't have to sin.
Hello,
Sinner sin, and that's what they are, so that's what they do. But as Christians, we don't give in to sin. We don't surrender to sin. We don't seek after and want the opportunity to sin. We want to honor God. So that's what we do. So keep in mind, the same thing applies in your life. If you're going to be able to forgive people, you must be willing to let go of your grudge. Now, what is a grudge? A grudge is a feeling of ill will that causes you to stop giving. Stop growing.
You're so good to hear
that. So it's important.
It went off anyway for a minute.
If you're gonna let God move in your life, you got to make sure that you have that connectability there. So sorry about that. We had a little feedback, and we got some studio audience that's all tuned in, and we got people dialed in from all phone lines everywhere, and we get a little bit of read over from time to time. But the thing you must realize is when you forgive people, you normally forgive them not in a way that you think. Let me show you. When you forgive people, you let go of your grudge. You choose to let go of the hurt. It's not so much that I have chose to ignore what happened and say that it's not important, but I have chose to not relive the pain that it caused me. That's what forgiveness starts at. And we got to remember that if you don't want to be hurt, then you can't relive that pain over and over and over and over and over and over again. It will be senseless and not helpful at all. The third step, not only do we need to relinquish our right to get angry, we need to respond to evil with good, but we need to repeat these steps as long as necessary. Now, this may sound weird, but it's never really talked about how the process of forgiveness has to go over and over and over again. The Bible says that one time Jesus was talking with his disciples, and one of his disciples came up in Matthew 18:21 and said, "Jesus, you know, how many times should I forgive someone who does something wrong to me?" And so they asked, you know, is 7 times enough? And Jesus answered and said, not just 7, but 70 times 7. Sometimes forgiveness has to be a continual thing. It's not so much that we forgive the person, you know, 7 times 7 is going to be 49, so I'm going to choose to say 490 times I'm going to forgive you, and then that 491 time I'm done. That's not what he's saying. What he's trying to help us understand is that we ought to magnify our ability to be able to forgive others and not relive that pain. Now, when you forgive a person, people ask, how in the world do I make the pain stop? This is going to sound very elementary, but it is very profound. First, you have to want to. sometimes we want to be hurt by something, to remind ourselves to never, ever trust anybody again. We want to be offended by a clerk at a store so we can remind ourselves to never go in a store with that name again, to be hurt by people who we thought we trusted so we can remind ourselves that you can never, ever trust people again. Well, we cannot allow hurt to be our motivation to follow God's will and his principles of his word. The Bible is our protection against things we don't know. He's given it to us so that we have a roadmap, if you will, to navigate us through all of the issues and the errors and the craziness of life so that we can accomplish great things and be what we never would have been able to be had it not been for the terrific and the tremendous impact of Jesus the Christ. So how are we going to serve him? We're going to serve him most by letting go of our grudges and choosing not to hold it over the head of the person who offended us or who hurt us or who we didn't like. You got to realize that it is not our will, but it's God's will that we should be seeking to do. So when there's a problem, we must be willing to let go of the hurt. You don't have to relive it to the point to where you feel the exact hurt every single time, but you will if you choose to. You got to remember, when a mother has given birth to a child, she is so excited, so happy to see that bouncing baby who has just caused them almost to die, who created so much pain and turmoil in their bodies that mother could have ceased from existence. She chose to remember the life that is ahead rather than the lousiness that I've gone through. This is the thing that we must do. If we are going to forgive others, you have got to choose to learn from what has happened in the past, to let go of your grudges, and you must remember to repeat this as often as necessary. Now, many people have asked the question and shooting text messages and saying, why in the world would I need to go through this and do it over and over again? I don't want to have to go through it again. But that's not what I'm saying. You're going to have to repeat this process every time it pops up in your mind. You have to remind yourself. Have you ever quit something, quit smoking, quit drinking, quit playing, you know, a game or stop eating, you know, something that was bad for you? Well, you have to play that same reason for not doing it over and over again whenever the thought pops up that you should go and get that piece of chocolate cake. You told yourself you wasn't going to do it, and you got to remind yourself of why you're not going to do it so that you can stay focused on track and complete your mission and your goal. This is the same way. You have to remind yourself to be forgiving, okay? Ask yourself, if it's going to be worth it, I've got to invest. I got to put something in the place, and I got to make sure that things are done right. So I can't just give in any kind of way and let myself act any kind of way. I've got to do the right thing. And by doing the right thing, you have to make yourself be and do what all is needed. And people cannot have a restored relationship. You cannot get along better without forgiveness. So if you're ever going to have a good friend, if you're ever going to have a good relationship, if you're ever going to have a good connection with a person, you've got to think about the ability to forgive people, because humans, get this, make mistakes. We make mistakes. So I want to ask you guys a question. You know, when we go through our forgiveness issues, people normally have things that they can forgive and have things that are hard for them to forgive. And some people say, this person did such and such to me, there's no way I could ever forgive them. Is there anyone in the audience today that has situations that pop that you've seen on television in a movie that's happened in your life or a friend's life or a family member's life that you would like to share and say, you know what, this is something that I think is just unforgivable, or someone else thought was unforgivable? At this time, any inputs?
You can't be heard.
I hear someone chiming in. I'm sorry, I'm having a little bit of technical difficulty on here, but if you want to share, you can just speak up a little bit. Otherwise, I'm getting text messages that are coming in.
Hello?
I can hear you now. So what is the thing that you know, that people think is so unforgivable? Why is it so difficult for people to forgive and things that people have problems with forgiving? Can you share?
Well, Pastor, I have had people say that the worst thing anybody could do is to lie to them. And if they give you an opportunity to tell the truth and you don't tell the truth and their eyesight, then, you know, that's just unforgivable.
Yeah. And that's a good one. And it's funny because we'll put that law up there and say, you know what, you should never lie to somebody. And people say, if you lie, you'll steal. If you steal, you'll kill. So I don't know if I can trust you if you're going to lie to me, right? And it's weird. But if we really ask the question, is that a double standard? Because who among us has never lied? What if God put the same standard on us that we put on other people and say, you know what, I'll let you go into heaven if you don't, if you never lie. You can X me out. I'm done. Because I haven't lied before in my life, and I believe I have some company over the airways and over the internet ways, et cetera, somewhere, because I am an imperfect being. I'm amongst imperfect people. I live in a very imperfect country. And Lord knows I have a very damnable, disrespectful, ungodly world that I live in as well. And that's no excuse because it is of my own free volition that I have chosen to wrong God whenever I sin against him. And so the issue was he chooses to forgive us differently than others. See, when we think about forgiveness, we think that we're holding back and keeping somebody from getting something by unforgiving them, by not forgiving them. And we feel like we're holding on to it. And I've even heard people say, nope, I ain't never going to forgive you. Like you're going to want my forgiveness, and I'm going to hold it back as like a way of getting vengeance. And that's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 19. He's saying vengeance belongs to God. It don't belong to you. We're not supposed to try to sing. We're not supposed to try to get vengeance and try to use a gift of God as a leverage tool to get even with somebody who we didn't like. You know, it's like we are not supposed to do that. You know, that is not what God wants us to do. That ain't it. So it is his will that we would be able to honor one another. And this is one of the things that I want to mention to us as well. The first step was to relinquish our right to get even. Two was respond to evil with good. Three is repeat these steps over and over again in our minds as often as it may be needed, or with the person as much as needed, because you will run out of patience if you don't forgive. You got to empty the garbage sometime. You got to let it go. If you don't, bad things will occur. When you get around to a point where you cannot recycle, you cannot get rid of the wasteful thought, the wasteful hurt, the wasteful action, the wasteful whatever that occurred, it is going to start to poison you, and you are going to fall away, lose your encouragement, and there will be a problem. So, number four, I want to throw this one on you. Rescue others with the good news of God's forgiveness. See, forgiveness rescued us from sin. It is our job to help rescue others with the good news of God's forgiveness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 20, it says, God has done it all. He sent Christ to make peace between himself and us, and he has given us the work of making peace between himself and others. What we mean is that God was in Christ offering peace and forgiveness to people of this world. And he has given us the work of sharing his message about peace. We were sent to speak for Christ and God in begging you to be recipients of his forgiveness. And the issue is, in the midst of that, I want to share this. Look at what Jesus did. There was a problem. There was a breakdown between God and man. Jesus came along and said, you know what? The issue is, we have got to have a penalty to solve the sin problem. So I am going to be the sacrificial lamb and die for for the entire world so that everyone would be able to match up and talk to each other again. And the word talk is relevant because in the Old Testament, they were not able to even talk to God for themselves. This is amazing. But now Jesus has died on the cross, allowed it to where we can have conversations with God. And if we call ourselves Christians, we must be willing to forgive others, hopefully, that they would be able to choose the opportunity to also talk to God for themselves. But God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have his everlasting life. Means that Jesus died on the cross, but he didn't just die. He also died not because everyone would be saved, but just to give them the option to choose salvation. That is one thing that Christians, we miss. Our job is to provide the option that a person can honor God, to allow our faith in God, to trust God enough to take care of what we can't take care of, to fix who we can't fix, to do what we cannot do. So my question is this. When it comes down to forgiveness and it comes down to trust, you know, is it possible to forgive someone and not trust them, or should we trust them, you know, and if they make good on the trust, then forgive them? How does that work? Anyone?
Wow. Well, you know, because people say trust is something that's earned, but then faith is something that's practiced, and how do you trust someone if you don't practice that?
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I would have to say I'm guilty of, once that trust has been broken, I myself am not a, and this is a shortcoming for me, but I'm not one that go back and practice that trust factor again, such as in faith.
Mm-hmm. Well, it may help to think about it like this. Whenever it comes down to forgiveness and trust, when you forgive a person, you grant them an opportunity to regain and earn that trust. So the issue is you begin to look to see if their life has actually changed, instead of looking at them as if that's the same lousy scoundrel that said and did whatever in the past. That's where it starts. Because whatever people have done to us, I'm sure we've done worse than God. But he still looks with us with expectancy and love. He expects good things. I know that we had slavery in the United States, but I can't look at everybody who's not black and wonder if they want to enslave me again. I can't. It's a feeling that may pop up inside of your head, but it's not necessarily the response that's going to honor God. Now, this is the overwhelming part. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. So if we are people of God, we ought to not only have faith, but we ought to live by faith, expecting God to take care of what we can't take care of, help us in areas where we need help and can't handle situations. We ought to expect God to take care of that. You see the difference? That's what we ought to expect. And if we really trust God who has all power, then what you worried about all that for? That's like somebody who has no pull and no power trying to tell you that they're going to rob you of your money that's in the bank account. You say, good luck, because you don't have my PIN number. So when people have hurt us, we must trust God. And if we would really have followed God's guidelines to begin with, most of the time, the hurt would have never happened. It was us who chose to trust the person when they weren't worthy of it. It was us who chose to give them money, chose to give them allowance, chose to give them access to our minds, our hearts, and even our bodies, and to our purses and our wallets. It was us who chose to paint ourselves the color of the team and to spend that money on those season tickets for $100 or $200. And then you got out there, and it not only rained, but your team lost. So, you know, these are things that we do, and we have we exercise our faith and have trust in those things. But the Bible teaches we should trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. He's the one that we put our trust in. He's the one we put our faith in. So if we look at it in this way, that God is the only trustworthy someone who's worthy of all of our honor, confidence, and love, then everything else will always prove to you how it doesn't measure up to God. That's all it is. The world will let you know that, man, you know, I'm not like God. I'm not as strong as him. I'm not as consistent as him. I'm not as loving as him. I'm not as reliable as him. People would do the same thing. See, we trust people, but we don't put all of our trust in people. It's a difference. We put all of our trust in God. He gives us the strength, the love, the patience, the kindness, and the ability to be able to love people the way we should. And God sometimes uses that example to teach us, because sometimes we are harsh on others when we in areas that we were guilty of ourselves. The Bible teaches that there was a young man came before the king, and he owed the king like $10,000. The king told him, you know what? I'm going to have to put you in the stocks and put you in slavery so you can work it off. And he said, please, king, have mercy on me. I am so sorry. And the king said, okay, you know what? I will give you a chance and I will forgive the debt. And that same person left the king's chambers and not soon after had somebody who only owed him $100. And he choked him around the neck, threw him in the jail, and put his family in slavery so he could get a little $100. So the king found out and said, you wicked servant, because you were unwilling to forgive others a little bit, and I forgave you a lot. This is the thing that God wants us to understand, is that's the love of God that wins people to Christ. As I mentioned on the show last week, the missionaries that came to the most violent the most violent tribe that was non-contemporary and had been left back in the Stone Ages, they came there to go share Jesus with them. And they were killed, you know, soon after they landed. They were speared to death. However, when you began to look at the response of their families prayed for those villagers, they prayed for those tribesmen, and then they moved out there as missionaries and began to share the love of Jesus Christ anyway. And when they shared the love of Jesus Christ, it was because of the sacrifice that others had and their uncanny, very strange, but godly response that they had to still continue loving somebody even after they killed my husband and my brother and my friend, that I continued to stand on good principles and not stop doing good because that person did bad, that the tribal chief and the men who had speared their loved ones to death came to Christ. That is an amazing testament of what happens when you allow forgiveness to grow legs and start walking in your life. You will have peace. You can be happier. You can overcome judgments and wrong, and you're able to do good things. Forgiveness means I am going to let go of the poison that poisoned me. Holding on to unforgiveness is like drinking the poison and expecting somebody else to get sick. It doesn't work. Sometimes people hold grudges and they're angry with somebody that did something wrong to them, and they're at home, I'm not going anywhere, and they're upset, and it's a sunshiny day, and the person they're mad at is all outside having a good time, and they moved on about their business. They don't realize you're not hurting anybody. You're not hurting anybody. You need to give it to God, turn it over to Jesus, prop up your pillow, and go to bed. End up all night, man, with somebody. You know, we do that, though. That is our human condition. You know, something bothers us enough, it takes our sleep, it takes our appetite, and we're just tore up. But if you would just trust in the Lord, you will find that God can do all things with fail. I hope that these 5 steps are going to be a blessing unto you and that we practice the power of forgiveness. But it comes from God, sent of God, taught by God, so that the people of God would be able to show forgiveness. I hope that you exercise forgiveness today and be more wise with who you trust and how you trust so that you can honor God and keep godly people, principles, and the power of God in your life as you walk down the path. Thank you so much for this rendition of the Sunday Drive Talk. I pray it's been a blessing unto you. If this is your first time, you need to make sure you get that first part one of forgiveness. It's going to bless you so the pain will stop once you take that bullet out of the wound, and you will be able to heal from whatever hurt you had by not concentrating on it, not recycling it, but choosing to take that bullet out of the wound, drop it. You got to stop, drop, and roll in the right direction, and you will see God move in your life. I want to say thank you so much for all of the Sunday Drive talkers. And if you're ever in the Rock, in the Morristown, Tennessee area, I want to welcome you to the Rock. You know, this Sunday is actually Easter Sunday, and we want to encourage you and give you a strong invite to come on out. We have a Sunday morning Bible study at 9:30 a.m., and we serve breakfast during that time. So anyone in the community can come out, be fed. We will love on you and show you the love of Jesus Christ. At 11 a.m., we have a worship service with a choir, and we have an Easter program, and it's going to bless you. So come on out, and let's have a fantastic time in the Lord. We want to thank everyone for all of their support, and most of all, Miss Janice Hudson-Nizzi, our producer, who helped to motivate this show to be running and the Sunday Drive Talk, which I've been partnering with now for 2 years. And so the Lord used her to help open the door just for me. So if you want to get your show on the air, reach out to her on Blog Talk, on Facebook. You can hit me on Facebook as well, and we'll get you on the air. Thank you so much for all that you do. And remember, we love you, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Have a victorious week in Jesus.